Hi, and welcome back to the Airman's Podcast. This is episode 191 for Tuesday, January 12th, 2010. Have you decided how you're saying the year yet? On my blog, I ran a poll, and the people who participated preferred 2010 about 3-1 over 2010 or 2010, which I hate even more. And although I prefer 2010, I found myself saying 2010 every once in a while. I suppose it's only inevitable. Now, before the last episode, I did say that it was entirely possible I wouldn't be back until after the 11th, and guess what? It's after the 11th! However, I did say that there would be a two political, and there was, just at the very end of the year, we did a two political, and we're about to record another one, as it happens. And also, while I'm on the subject of plugging other podcasts, I was on an episode of There Are Some Who Call Me Tim, with Tim Carmel, and you can find his podcast at timcarmel.com, although there are links in my blog, and I'll put it in the show notes as well. And finally, I'd like to plug Big Fatty. Oh, God, that just came out all wrong. I was on the Crema Spectacular for Big Fatty Online, and although I didn't feel my part as much as I did last year, it just didn't quite gel for me this year. But all the same, it was fun, and I will put a link to that episode in the show notes as well. Well, I hope you all had good holidays. We had long holidays, as you will remember. When I last recorded here in the studio, I was getting ready for Nigel's work due, which ended up being very successful, thank you. I was running around at the very last minute as Nigel was pulling up with one of his workmates in the car, and the others came separately. But I had just about finished. I had a few last things I was finishing up when they pulled up, but I did finish on time, and at the end of the day, that's all that matters. I was ready when they got here. And the house looked great, I have to say, if I do say so myself. However, the way I did it, basically, was to pile everything on my side of the garage where my car goes, so my car had to park outside. And I meant to sort that out in the over the break, the 3 weeks that Nigel was off. But unfortunately, I didn't get quite finished, and so my car stayed out for 3 weeks. Well, yesterday I did finish it and pulled the car back in the garage, and so it's all nice and safely parked and all that sort of stuff, and all sorted. However, I have about 3 boxes worth of stuff that I've brought back into my office from the garage that I need to go through, file, throw away, whatever it might be. And it's, in some cases, stuff that's been around for quite a while, so I should be able to just kind of pitch it. And we had very nice holidays here. We had a lovely Christmas Day. It was just me and Nigel, of course, his mom, his sister, another sister and her daughter, and Jake. And that was it. So it was a fairly low-key day. The only problem was that it was ungodly hot in the house. The official temperature, I think, that day was something like 22 Celsius, I think. But it was really over 30, which would be in the 90s Fahrenheit. And the air conditioning just couldn't keep up. Now, the way our house is situated, it's sort of hard to describe, but in the afternoon, the sun comes over on one side, and there's two, we call them ranch sliders, sliding doors with windows almost the same size right next to it, floor to ceiling. Well, not quite, you know, normal size. And so the sun was beaming in, and the curtains couldn't keep it out. We've got rid of all of our fans when we had the air conditioning put in, so we were sweltering. Then I remembered that we'd bought an evaporative cooler when we went to visit Nigel's brother, who lives in the Waikato. And so I pulled that out, and that at least was a fan to keep the air moving. But it was really uncomfortable. So since then, we've been doing a lot of research into essentially what to do to fix this problem. We tried putting up a shade to keep the sun out. And although that worked, it meant that we couldn't see out the doors, and it really gave us sort of a claustrophobic feeling. So we didn't like that option. And we found out that if we got a high-velocity fan and put it up high, that it could blow the air around, keep it moving, and we keep it cooler. And it works. It keeps the temperature always at least 3 degrees cooler than it is outside. And sometimes, you know, that's enough. And we also, I'm getting a bit ahead of myself, but on Boxing Day, we went and got one of those weather stations that has a wireless sensor outside and then the inside, so we could tell what the difference in the temperature was. And it's been at least 3 degrees, two or three degrees, and generally, you know, as much as 5, 6 or more. And that can make a huge difference on a hot day. And so that helps. The fan definitely helps. And we looked at getting some ETEC fans installed. They apparently they're all the rage in the U.S., these solar-powered fans that extract hot air from attic spaces. But apparently here, there's something like $1,300 or $1,800 installed. And I'm thinking, no. I mean, sure, eventually you make the money back and the money saved by not having to power the fan. But, I mean, that's a lot of money for a fan, essentially. And we looked at another option of having essentially a fan installed, a conventional fan, to pull the heat out of the air and vent it outside. But that's not a whole lot cheaper. It's, well, it is. It's $600 to $800 installed. And we've come up with another option. It's apparently becoming all the rage here, where you get sheets of plexiglass and rolls of magnetic tape, you know, the positive and negative tape, and you tape it to the aluminum joinery around the windows, and then you put it on the plexiglass, and then the magnet holds it in place. So it's sort of like poor man's double glazing, because double glazing is still quite rare here in New Zealand. They're starting to require it, I think, in some areas, some of the coldest areas, but I don't think it's required throughout New Zealand yet. It will be eventually, but most houses don't have double glazing or storm windows or anything like that. And ours certainly doesn't, and our house is only 6 years old this year. So ours is fairly common, and it has aluminum joinery. You know, the window frames are all aluminum, and so you can't use conventional magnets, and there's nothing to, like, screw anything onto, and you wouldn't want to anyway. So this is the solution that most people use, and it's a fraction of the cost. I think it's $200 or $300 for all that expansive glass, and it does end up creating a bigger thermal barrier for the heat. And so we're hoping that that's going to make a difference as well. So those are the solutions we've come up with so far. And, of course, the putting in the poor man's double glazing will not have any running costs. So it's not like it's going to use any more electricity or anything. So that's good, assuming it works. So that's kind of what we've been up to. New Year's was really quiet. Nigel's sister came around, and it was just me and him and his mom and his sister, and they all decided that they wanted to go to bed before midnight. So we took Nigel's mom, by that time, was staying with the sister, so we took them back to the sister's house, and I think they went to bed right away. And Nigel did go to bed, but he stayed awake and watched the countdown, I put that in quotes, on TV1, and I stayed up, and I had a glass of champagne because I was determined I was going to have champagne in the night. And that was it. Then I went to bed. I think by 12:05, probably, I was in bed. And that was my thing. But in my entire life, well, except for when I was a real little kid, I don't remember ever missing a New Year's. And when I was a little boy, we lived right next door to the church where my dad was pastor. And I don't remember how old I was. I must have been about 6 or 7 or so, maybe 8. I remember him bringing me next door to the church at midnight, or before midnight, actually. And then at midnight, he let me flick the switch to turn on the church bell, which he would ring 12 times. And then that was his contribution to New Year's. And I still remember that all these years later. And maybe that's why I'm so determined I'm going to see midnight every year. So watch, when my time comes, it'll probably it'll be at 11:59 on some New Year's Eve. Anyway, so that's what we've been up to. We didn't do anything over the 3 weeks that Nigel was away, spend money, but we didn't go anywhere. Just had a really relaxing time, mostly at home. Did some shopping, went to the shops. And as I said, we got the weather station, and I got a little HD camera. And some of you may know this already if you've gotten the video that I posted. Now, that wasn't serious, but it wasn't entirely a joke either. The thing about the camera, I'll back up first. It's a Samsung U10 or something like that. It's not actually written on the camera. And it's similar to the flip cam. And I remember several months ago, that was all the rage among my podcast buddies. They were all getting these flip cams, and they weren't available here in New Zealand at all. And then just recently, they've been introduced, and some of you may have seen the YouTube videos I've shot on Bondi Beach and things like that. And yeah, that's all wonderful and all that, but flip cams are expensive here. And the HD is 780 or whatever it is, whereas this one is 1080. So it's a true HD. And so I got that, and I was on special on Boxing Day, which is December 26th. It was about half price, roughly, or almost half price. And it certainly was about half the price of a flip cam. And so, I mean, I couldn't hardly pass it up when it's true HD and half the price. And I've just played around with it a little bit so far. I'm probably going to be doing more videos now that I can. I've got a fairly decent camera. And it's actually the reason I haven't done more videos so far. The video camera we've got is 2 megapixels. And the quality difference between that and my digital camera was really noticeable. I used both when I did the Christmas video last year. Actually, it was 2007. And it's 2008, sorry. And the still shots were really good and clear and crisp, but the video ones were all just really bad, I thought. And I didn't like it. And it wasn't even as good as the EyeSight camera that's built into my iMac. And so that's the main reason I haven't done any videos. I'm sure I could have done some sitting at my desk talking to the Mac, and I did do one of those. Although the main reason I didn't, this is going to sound really stupid, the main reason I didn't is because my office was too messy behind me. It was just too cluttered, and I just hadn't had time to sort it out. And now that I have, I'm going to be doing more of that, but I'm also going to be going out and using this Samsung camera to shoot images here and there. So you'll be seeing more of those. Now, when I say it wasn't entirely a joke, it really was a test that I shot of the camera, and it really is off of our deck. But it's only one small part of the view, obviously. And the reason I posted it is because Tom the Ramble Redhead had posted a video about snow and a snowstorm in his area. And I decided that that was a good antidote because it was a warm summer day and all that. So you could hear the birds singing. And if you haven't seen the video, it is on my YouTube channel, which is under Amarins, oddly enough. And of course, it's also available on the website, amarinspodcast.com. And you can download it there if you would want to for some reason. And the thing about that, though, is I don't think that the video player on the website is working. It stopped working correctly when I upgraded PodPress. And I don't know what the story is or what's gone wrong with it, but at this point, I can't do anything about it. And until I sort out a long-term solution, there's really not much I can do. So for that video, I did put advice to click on the view and pop-up because that seems to work better. But if all else fails, you can always see it on the YouTube channel. So that has been pretty much what we've been up to, just not much in spending. And of course, Nigel went back to work yesterday, and I, as I said, finished the garage to put the car away. The only other thing that I wanted to do that I did do over the break was I got my blog links updated on my blog. I haven't done it yet on the podcast site. It's a long story, but basically it's different. And I haven't gotten the podcast list fully updated. It's not far wrong, so it's not too bad. But that's all I've done. I wanted to totally revamp amarins.com, which is my portal site, and I just didn't get around to that. So that's still to come. I suppose there's really no rush. Yeah, I don't really mind that I didn't get as much done as I wanted to, but, you know, I got enough done, I guess. Now, I am going to tell you about some things that are going on in the news. And, of course, I've been doing this for most of the studio podcasts for quite a while, and I just decided I might as well make it a regular feature that every time I record here in the studio, that I'll just talk about maybe two or three stories in New Zealand news that caught my eye. They may not necessarily be the most important ones. They will very often be about gay and lesbian stuff or expat stuff or things relating to America and New Zealand, what have you. But basically just things that catch my eye about New Zealand news. And in some cases, it'll be things that I've already talked about in previous episodes, and sometimes it won't. But the first story I'm going to... Oh, and here now, the news. The first story that I wanted to tell you about is that the U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is arriving in New Zealand this week for 2 days of talks. And the media is making a big deal of it, and it actually is a very big deal this time. The last... It's probably the biggest high-level visit that we've had in 10 years, at least. In 1999, Madeleine Albright came with President Clinton for the APEC conference that was held in Auckland that year. And in 2008, just the waning days of the Bush administration, Condoleezza Rice had a stopover visit. But, I mean, that was a really short visit. Now, this all goes back to the mid-1980s, when New Zealand passed its nuclear-free legislation, which banned nuclear power and nuclear weapons. And among other things, that meant that no Navy ship that was nuclear-powered or that carried nuclear weapons could enter New Zealand waters and certainly couldn't come into port. That meant the United States, primarily. And the U.S. then, as now, has a policy that it will neither confirm nor deny the presence of nuclear weapons on any ship. Now, as it happens, everybody knows that that nuclear weapons are now carried only in submarines, not on surface ships. So there's no reason why a conventionally powered Navy ship, and there most of them are, couldn't come to New Zealand waters. But because they have this policy of neither confirm nor deny, they have this blanket refusal. Well, in 1985, Ronald Reagan suspended the ANZUS Alliance, which was Australia, New Zealand, and the United States. And among other things, the ANZUS Alliance required that if one of the three countries was attacked, the other two had to treat it as an attack on them as well. It was one of the pillar treaties of the Cold War era for the Asia-Pacific region. But toward the end of the George Bush administration, they announced that they were going to review the defense arrangement and stuff. And it's widely expected that when Secretary Clinton is here, she is going to announce the resumption of direct military maneuvers. Now, this comes on the heels of earlier this year, or I guess it was last year, when they announced that they were going to resume direct intelligence sharing. Now, it used to be that New Zealand would gather intelligence in this region, as Australia does, and would share it, but the United States wouldn't share any intelligence with New Zealand. We had to get it through the United Kingdom, which is really dumb. But it was the defense issues that were colossally stupid. Because what happened was that the New Zealand military, Air Force, Navy, Army, would train with Australia. Then Australia would train with the United States. But we couldn't train directly with the United States. And that's really stupid and nearsighted, and if you stop to think about it, because if there was ever a war in this region, the forces would need to be able to integrate seamlessly. And that couldn't happen because we weren't allowed to train together. Now, the New Zealand has troops in Afghanistan. They're SAS special troops. And they had to get a special dispensation from the U.S. government in order to be able to train with U.S. troops in Afghanistan. And, I mean, that's stupid on its face. They should be able to just do that automatically. So it looks like that's finally going to end after 25 years of stupidity. And, you know, you think the U.S. government could have gotten over it a little bit sooner, but, you know, better late than never, I suppose. But that's the big excitement. And this resumption of direct defense contacts is a very big deal. So, but I'll certainly follow up with that if there's any changes. Also in the news, a 22-year-old man has been charged with injuring a police constable, Sarah Lurajud, or however you pronounce it, based in Christchurch, and because she tried to stop him from stealing a patrol car. He apparently had his car confiscated, and he was pissed off, so he tried to steal a patrol car, which you'd think wasn't very bright. But Constable Lurajud was pulled about 10 meters by the car, and apparently at one point was underneath it. Now, oven by itself, that's not that big a story, except that she is New Zealand's first transgender cop. She went through the gender reassignment surgery in 2007 and returned to duty as Sarah. And so in that sense, it makes the story kind of interesting and probably the sort of thing that may or may not have made the news otherwise. But The news reports all had to mention that she was New Zealand's first transgender cop, but they didn't make a big deal out of it. It wasn't, you know, the focus of the story. It was just like, oh, by the way, kind of thing, or this is why we're reporting this sort of thing. But it's funny, and I don't think that there – in fact, I know there haven't been any since, but I don't think that there's even been any discussion of – certainly they haven't tried to recruit any. But, of course, New Zealand police – has a fully open recruitment policy, and they try to recruit people from all walks of life. And one of the main things that they've been trying to recruit lately actually are native Chinese speakers, Mandarin or any of the other dialects, because there are so many Asian immigrants in Auckland in particular, and they would really like to have police officers who can communicate directly. But those are just a couple of items from the news. And as I said, in future episodes, I'll continue to do that. But right now, I have a phone message, and I also have a new phone message segment thing for this episode. Hello.
Arthur. This is Tom, a.k.a. the Ramble Redhead. Just wanted to give you a very quick call to wish you and the wonderful Mr. Nigel a very happy and healthy 2010. I'm calling all my favorite podcasters to wish them all the best for the holiday as well as for the new year. And I definitely wanted to give you a call. So you take care and keep in touch, and hope to talk to you again soon. So take care. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for that, Tom. And I had to play that, even though it's a bit after the New Year now, because that I just had to demonstrate that I'm one of Tom's favorite podcasters. Also, by making that call, he's guaranteed my phone line for another month. Isn't that special? But thanks again, Tom. But that's it for today. I will be back certainly next week. I will be back soon with another Too Political as well. And I may be resuming the live shows this coming Friday. I don't know yet. But pencil that in as a possibility. But that is it for today. Have a good rest of the week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.